Hello, my name 3301. Today's story comes from the Reddit user u/the_bitch_is_here. This is part 2 in a 6-part series. For what felt like hours, I watched people enter and exit the room where the twins were. Finally, I watched as two people entered the room where the twins were. Addison and Andrew looked up at the lady, confused. The lady introduced herself as Mrs. Williams and introduced the man beside her as their uncle. The man gave them a friendly smile, and Mrs. Williams explained that they were going to be living with their uncle. Addison gave him a nervous smile, while Andrew didn't even look at him. The man helped carry Andrew and Addison's bags to what I assumed to be his car. The twins followed him nervously while jumping at the slightest of sounds. I followed them and snuck inside the car with them in my shadow form. The whole ride was filled with an awkward silence. Andrew looked out the window the entire time, while Addison hugged her stuffed teddy bear. The man stayed quiet, and just focused on driving. Eventually, the man parked near a house in the woods. The house looked very old, but at the same time, well taken care of. The lawn was really green, and flowers were grown around the lawn. The house looked really welcoming, despite the unsettling location. Addison and Andrew pulled out their bags from the car and walked up to the entrance. The man fumbled with the keys before getting to a key and unlocking the door. I slipped inside the house undetected. The place was really clean and everything was organized. Not a speck of dirt was anywhere. The man told the twins to sit down on the couch while he brought their bags to the guest room. I followed the man and snuck inside the closet. The closet was really small, both due to the amount of clothes in there and the size, but I didn't mind. It's just another thing that I had to do to make sure that the twins were safe. But I was going to miss the old house. While the man unpacked their bags for the twins, I looked around the closet I would be staying in for a while. The closet was filled with women's clothing, and boxes full of jewelry were all over the floor. But the thing that caught my attention was a photo of a woman. The woman was wearing a diamond necklace and was wearing a blue dress. The woman looked to be in her early 30s. She had long dirty blonde hair and bright blue eyes. She was wearing a wedding ring on her finger. Was this the guy's wife? The man finished unpacking and went downstairs. I heard him turning on the oven, so I assumed that he was cooking dinner. I turned into my shadow form and went downstairs. The twins were watching the local news. The news was talking about Andrew's missing friends and the twins' missing father. They were both crying and hugging each other, and for the millionth time today, my heart broke into pieces. I had to protect them from whatever is causing the disappearances. I wanted to go up and hug them. Tell them that everything was going to be okay. But I couldn't, because then I was going to get found out. The twins ate dinner with the man and they went to bed. They had trouble going to sleep, but they eventually fell asleep. I didn't get much sleep that night. The next day, the twins went back to school. I snuck inside the car with them. Like yesterday, the car was filled with an awkward silence. They eventually arrived, and they exited the car with their backpacks. I followed them in my shadow form. Both of the twins got sympathetic looks from classmates, teachers, and staff while walking down the hall. When they got to their class, their teacher walked up to them and told them that if they needed someone to talk to, she was available. I was happy that they could get some help. These past few days must have terrified them. For a few hours, I tiredly watched in my shadow form the twins copy things on a piece of paper and do things that the teacher told them to do. Eventually, lunchtime came around. The twins got their lunch and sat down at different tables. While Addison was eating her lunch, a few kids sprinted over to Addison and pulled her off her seat. "Loser!" One of the kids yelled at her. Addison slowly got up and started crying due to a scrape on her leg. One thing I noticed was that no one bothered to step in. I would even go as far as to say that the other kids looked scared and nervous. How long has this been going on? What are you going to do now? cry to your non-existent dad? Another one of the kids taunted. Once again, I felt rage come in through my entire body. Addison ran off and went to the nurse's office to treat her wound. I snuck inside the janitor's closet to rest. I was getting tired. The last thing I heard before drifting to sleep was the laughter of the kids from before. I woke up to a horrified scream. The janitor was standing in the doorway, looking at the mess. The exact same liquid I saw when people go missing was everywhere in the closet. The people in the comments of my last post told me that the red liquid was called blood. The janitor immediately ran away from the closet. I noticed that I was covered in blood, so I grabbed a sponge from a bucket filled with water and quickly washed it off of me. A few minutes later, everyone was being escorted out of the school by police officers. I went outside too, and watched from a distance. Students were crying. I really wanted to just walk up to everyone and hug everyone. Tell them that everything was going to be alright. A few minutes went by, and the man arrived and told the twins to get in. I went in with them, and he started driving. The twins sobbed while hugging each other. It broke my heart to see them like this. We eventually arrived back to the house, and everyone got out. The man told them to go rest. The twins nodded, and went back to the guest room, with me following them. I snuck back into the closet. The twins kept on crying while hugging each other for a few minutes, and then Addison asked Andrew a question. "Are we bad luck?" Addison asked. That question shattered my heart into millions of pieces. I then started to cry. Of course they weren't bad luck. Something strange is going on around here, and I was going to protect them. Of course not. A killer is on the loose. The police are going to catch them. I promise. Andrew promised. I then realized something. Every time someone went missing, I was there. Was I possibly bad luck? A few uneventful hours went by. Addison and Andrew ate their dinner and went to bed. I snuck out of the closet and slipped under the front door. I then started walking around the forest. I just needed to think. I got into my true form. The 10-foot monster that haunted people's nightmares. The 10-foot monster about the same exact height as the trees. The 10-foot monster that terrified people to the bone. I hated my appearance. Addison's question replayed over and over in my head. Whenever someone went missing, I was present. Whenever someone went missing, blood was all over the place they last were. The blood was also all over me whenever someone went missing. Was I the cause of all this? I tried to push the thought to the back of my mind. I would never hurt a human. At least, not intentionally. I sat down near a tree and thought about it more and more. I tried shoving the idea of me being bad luck and being the possible cause of this mess to the back of my mind, but the idea kept on coming back. I looked up at the moon and noticed that it was 3 a.m. I need to go back to the house soon. Thank you for listening to part 2 of I'm the Monster Who Lives in Your Closet. Although I don't have a spine, I do hope this story gave yours shivers. Tune in next time for part 3, and until then have a lovely horror day.